Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. I don't think there's ever Easter week goes by that I don't read Luke chapter 24. I tell you why. Luke chapter 24 tells a lot of people who went to the tomb, found it empty, and met the risen Christ, and it made a big difference in their life. What a difference. The angels spoke to the women that got up early in the morning and looked, and they went expecting to, out of respect, they was going to anoint the body of Jesus with spices and so forth. When they got there, they found the stone rolled away. And they didn't understand what was happening. Two men that was in white apparel, which was angels, said, I know you seek Jesus, but he's not here. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He's rose again. Remember how he spoke to you in verse 6 in Galilee, when he's yet in Galilee? And here's what he told you then. I tell you what, we need to remember what he's trying to teach us. I mean, and get the whole story. And not just get a line here and there. Saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And then they remembered his words. And they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the leaven and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales. And they believed them not. I hope there's not one here that when you get preached to from the precious word of God, that it just seems like idle tales. Oh, I've heard that all my life. Then arose Peter, running to the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which come to pass. And don't mention Peter anymore, but you'd thought that would have been enough. But it wasn't. It doesn't tell the story here, but you read it in other Gospels that he was yet depressed and wasn't convinced, and he said, I'm going to go fishing. And they went, a lot of them will go fishing. Hey, let me say this. If we only knew the influence that we could have and don't have because of our lukewarmness and indifferent to the things of Christ that really matters, if we only knew. And then verse 13 begins with, behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem 3 score furlongs, which is about 7 miles, and they talked together for all the things that happened. They communed together. And then Jesus came and he walked with them. And he said, Jesus, in verse 17, and I'd like to read the whole chapter, but it'd take too much time, I suppose, and that might be the best part of it we could do. And he said unto them, Jesus said unto him, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and has not known the thing which are come to pass there in these days? Because see, they didn't recognize as being Jesus. And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And then he tells about his crucifixion, how that he was crucified. In verse 21, but we trusted that it had been he which would have redeemed Israel, and besides all this, today is the third day. But they constrained, and they drew nigh. In verse 28, the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in and tarried with them. And it came to pass that he said at meat, He took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them, and their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. What a difference. Why seek ye the living among the dead? There's been a lot of great days happened in the history of the world and history of America. Even in my lifetime, when I was in December, I can remember, barely remember December the 7th, 1941. World War II, the beginning of World War II. You know the difference that made in many, many families, and thousands that got killed. August the 6th, 1945 was another day that made a difference. On that day, for the first time in history, an atomic bomb was dropped on mankind. And we could go back and talk about a great day in 1492 resulting in the discovery of a new world. How about the day of the birth of Christ? However, I think the greatest day in history was the day that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the grave. You say, well, it was the death of Christ. Of course, he couldn't have been resurrected if he hadn't already died. We're here on Sunday today because this is Jesus' day. This is a Sunday. After his resurrection, we don't worship on the Sabbath, Saturday. We worship on Sunday, the first day of the week, the day of the resurrection. I want to ask you a question of practical nature. What difference does the resurrection make in your life? You know, these men who were called angels asked a great question. Why seek you the living among the dead? Don't seem to be the one they'd be asking. We're here today celebrating the rising from the dead of Jesus Christ. We're not looking for him in a grave. It's okay for us to look at him, look for him at church, because where two or three are met together in his name, he said he'd be in the midst. And if you had a seeking heart, you've already been blessed through the singing this morning. You know, Mohammed is buried somewhere in Mecca, Lenin in a tomb in Moscow, and the other so-called saviors that they worship throughout the world. But our Savior is not in a tomb anywhere. he's risen. Why ask a question? I'll tell you why I ask the question, because a lot of us may think he's dead. I mean, if you know him as the resurrected Lord, you got some resurrection power. That's why Paul, writing to the church there, said, if you be risen with Christ, if, seek those things which are above. If you haven't been risen with Christ, we wouldn't expect, you're still dead in your trespasses and sin. We're going to baptize a couple young men, boys, tonight. I mean, in the ordinance of baptism, it doesn't save, but it's an act of obedience, and it points to Jesus. It points to his death and burial and resurrection, and we identify ourselves with him. We're destined to walk a new walk in life. But we, that's what true salvation is, being resurrected. True salvation is full of life. Religion is dead. It's always been dead. That's why Paul says, flee that form of godliness which denies the power. They asked the question, these men did, because Jesus wasn't there. And tell you the truth about it, Jesus is not in a church service when it's dead. You won't find him in a dead church. You find him where there is alive. I got studying on that yesterday morning and went home. And I started discussing it with Imogene. Man in life, we had church. We had church. Hey, let me say this. I'm not worried about whether I'm accepted or not. Brother, let me say, I can go home and have church. I can open the Bible and have church. I'm not going to backslide with any church that I go to be in fellowship. I don't want to be in that dead stuff. Brother, it's not real. Hey, Jesus come to resurrect. Put life in. Eternal life. He come to give life. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. This Laodicean age, I preached last Sunday. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and I'll be honest with you, I went home a little discouraged in my heart, because I could tell that the majority of us didn't want him. If he's knocking on my door, I'm going to open it up. I'm going to let him come in all week long. The message of Revelation 3 spoke to me. Let him in. Let him do what he wants to in your life. Man, he won't do anything bad in your life. He'll do what's good. He come to give life and give it more abundantly. He didn't come to bring death. He come to do away with death. This world full of death. I see it everywhere. Dead in trespasses and sin. You have he quickened who were dead. Praise God. We don't look for him in the grave. But I hope you don't think he's dead. I'll tell you what. We need to experience what the Emmaus disciples experienced. We need to experience the risen Lord coming and walking with us. God help us to experience it. They should have been singing all the way home. Well, you said, preacher, why? Because they had the facts. Just because you know a few facts doesn't mean it's going to do anything with you. All religion has a few facts. But the problem is they come to the wrong conclusions. This is the third day, they said, and they're discussing all that happened. This is the third day. Well, why weren't they there knowing that he's going to be resurrected? Why weren't they where they're supposed to be? They was trudging along back home and discouraged and sad. Jesus come and walk with them. Why are you walking along and so sad? Well, are you a stranger and you don't know what's happened? First of all, most people want Jesus for the wrong reason. I get so sick and tired when I turn on the tube and see what's going on in so-called Christianity. Most people want him as a healer, want him as a giver. Well, he is a healer and he's a giver, but that's not what he come for. He is given eternal life, and that's what he come for. Boy, that's about it. And I can mention some other things, but I don't want to get off track. Brother, let me say this. We better keep the message where it belongs. He came to seek and to save that which were lost, and we are all candidates. He's the Savior. He's the one that brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He walked along, he began with Moses. You know, a lot of these liberals don't believe that in Genesis, you know, the creation and all that. But he began with Moses and he brought him up to date and talked with him in the Old Testament and brought it all up to date. Because Jesus came to fulfill it all and fill it full. When they got to their destination, he made as though that he would go on. Let me say, the reason why most of us don't have him is you've got to compel him to come in. It's toward evening, they said, about dark. Come on in. Let me say this. A lot of it's toward evening. It's toward evening with me. And I see a lot of it's toward evening in our life. We better be compelling him, if we haven't already, to come in and abide with us, because we need his presence more than ever. Brother, you've been saved for several years. What in the world's wrong that we not learn to walk with him and talk with him and have the living Lord's presence in our life? Brother, and we're satisfied without seeking him. Because all that seek him will find. They compelled him to come in. And when he comes into your life, you invite him in maybe as a guest, but he takes over as host in your life. He'll feed you. And you'll like what he has to say. Brother, let me say this. These people that run from the Lord yet say they're going to heaven and they're saved, I don't believe a word of it. Newborn babes desire. That newborn person desires a sincere milk of the word that they may live thereby. That's where we get our strength. That's where we get our hope. That's where we get our peace. When he comes, he speaks peace. In the upper room on that Sunday evening after the resurrection, the disciples was closed in there, had the doors barred shut for fear of the Jews. They thought they were going to be after them next. And Jesus stood in their midst and spoke peace to them. Nothing sweeter than having the peace of God. But you're not going to have peace with him if you're pushing him away. No. You got to open up your heart and receive him for who he is. The Prince of Peace. The Counselor. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. These Emmaus disciples, and man, I tell you what, there's so much in this chapter that I'll watch the clock, because if not, I'll be here for 2 o'clock. I'm thoroughly convinced our greatest trouble is an inadequate experience of Jesus. Hey, brother, you've got to have an experience with him. You got to have an experience with the risen Lord. Brother, hey, salvation is not in just saying a few words. Salvation is in receiving the Savior. Receiving him. To as many as receive him, to them he give power, made it possible they come the sons of God, which is born not of the will of man, but the will of God. Everybody's got some hope. But boy, there's so much false hope, in my opinion, as I measure it with the Word of God. You better make sure that you have true hope. Hey, I like to read biographies and I like to read of other people's experience, but I tell you what I really like is to experience him myself. Hey, there's something wrong as individuals when we don't experience him in our lives. When we go to church every Sunday just to leave. When we don't go to say, Lord, speak to me today. Stir my heart today. Come into my heart today. I'm not living as close to you as I want to. And they that seek like that, they find. The living Christ walks beside us, ready to change us from weaklings into witnessing, to give us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The thing that made people of old shout in the aisles puts us to sleep in the pew nowadays. I've preached long enough to know if I'd preached like this 50 years ago, people would be shouting, praising God. I saw them shout them way to the altar and call on God. You Baptists, you'd thought was Pentecostals. Man, praising God and shouting because their hope of heaven. Their hope of eternal life through the resurrected Lord. And know that we are more than conquerors through him. Not just conquerors, we are more than conquerors. Knew that this is a victory that overcometh the world. Our faith. If we don't believe in the resurrection and that we can be resurrected, then if Jesus Christ, our faith is vain. It's worth nothing. The if of the resurrection, Paul said. If the dead rise not again, then he said, your faith is in vain. Boy, faith is important. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without faith, your prayer life don't amount to anything. We got to believe some things. Today, I'm afraid that, hey, and when you believe something strong enough in your home with the power of God, it will make a difference. That's why Paul would say to the jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in all thy house. Well, the mass experience had some characteristics that we need. One thing, it was true to the Scripture. You know, sometimes I think Baptists, part of their doctrine is to be dead. I think if you're not dead, you can't be alive. If a Baptist start praising God, he must not be a Baptist anymore. That's crazy. Baptist was shouting up the storm before there was any charismatics anywhere around. Years and years before. And it's true to the Scripture. Let everything that hath breath praise God. Have you read that? Enter his courts with praise and thanksgiving gates. Brother, you don't enter them sad. Amen. It was true to the Scripture. Our Lord opened the Scripture, opened the disciples' eyes and understanding, and we err because we know not the Scriptures. Let me say this. The rich man, Luke 16, said, send Lazarus back from the dead that he might warn my brothers. You read that? And Abraham said, if they won't hear Moses and the prophets, they wouldn't be they wouldn't even hear somebody rose from the dead. And that's true. They wouldn't even heed Jesus. And the experience of the disciples stirred their hearts. The good news was a real revival in them. It produced some heartburns. Did not our hearts burn within, as they said, as they testified one after they left? As he walked with us and he opened our eyes to the scriptures. You know, we're so much afraid of feelings. I don't run on feelings. But it'd be foolish a person don't want to feel. In fact, the Bible says, Paul said to the Ephesians, you're past feeling. Boy, it's bad. I tell you what, that's what exactly happens to a person who won't receive the Word of God. The Word of God is a two-edged sword. And if you don't receive it, you're worse off for ever hearing it. Young people that's brought up here in Thumpton Academy, and they hear the Word of God, they hear the Word of God, and they hear the preaching of the Word of God, and they turn it down, they become hard of healing, of hearing. Brother, that's why there's no use when you're not getting to the heart, you might as well shut up. Because it's with the heart, the will, the emotion. Man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made in salvation. You take somebody that gets a dose of salvation, it begins here, but it doesn't stop there. It gets on down to their will and their emotion, and they surrender, and they feel the presence of God, and the joy, and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, and long-suffering. Praise God. Let me say the world didn't give it, and the world can't take that away. And let me say this, you can't get that anywhere in this old world. Everything I know of in this world is disappointing. Boy, I'm going to confess, I've been watching the college play ball. I feel better after I confess that. I saw big old college boys sit there and ball because they lost a game. I read somewhere of a team, I don't know whether it was baseball or football, that they won the top trophy, went to the room, and you know how they pour the champagne and all that. And the star player was sitting over in the corner with his head down. He didn't join in celebration. And they just couldn't imagine why he wouldn't join in. And you know what he said? Is this all there is to it? Is this all there is to it? Man, I'll tell you what, I've never heard anybody that had the fullness of God say, is this all there is to it? Man, when heaven comes down and glory fills your soul, that's not all there is to it. That's just the beginning. Brother, you talk about glory. When we get the full dose of it, we'll have to have a glorified body because these old bodies couldn't stand it. They would explode. You put some of that new wine into these old wineskins, they won't do it. We'll have to have a glorified eyes and a glorified body and a spiritual body. They couldn't understand. Didn't even believe Jesus hardly when he arrived. Isn't it sad? And I dare to say some of us don't understand much about the risen Lord. If all you know about it is what you read in it and you don't experience it, you ought to be singing, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I'm his home. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. You won't have to worry about a young person or older person if when they get a good dose and they see what it really means to know the resurrected Lord and they have eternal life through him, you won't have to worry about that individual. They may go through some downtime, but they won't stay there. No, they won't. the experience of the disciples stirred their hearts. There's never been a real revival that didn't produce some heartburns, some hallelujahs. Did not our hearts burn within us? Yes, we're afraid of too much emotion. Sometimes the little woman there, she'll going home, she said, "Did I embarrass you?" No, I said, "You can't embarrass me. What I'm embarrassed with is them rotten deacons that's so dead-headed. That goes to sleep while I'm preaching. Somebody ought to get them up and walk them around. Men that's supposed to be full of wisdom and the Holy Ghost of God. Is any deacons here?" When you get older, you know, they think I'm senile. Take what they want to. Man, just don't take the reality away from me. Amen. Brother, don't you take my hope away from me. Amen. Don't you take away from me where I can go out to the cemetery and see a loved one's body left down in the ground. I'll be able to look up and say, "Oh, death, where is thy sting? And oh, grave, where is thy victory?" Say, "Thanks be to God that gives victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We live in a day when death's a joke. Brother Tully, I go to most funerals and I go away so sad. It's a joke. They don't want you to deal with the reality of it. But I'll tell you, as long as I live, I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to deal, and I'm going to say to people, let me say this, this person has passed over on the other side. And if they didn't know Jesus, the other side is in hell. But if they knew Jesus, they're in heaven. That's the difference. Not everybody goes to heaven like they say every time you go to a funeral home. Oh, they're in heaven, and they're with Grandpa or Grandma. And sometimes they hardly ever knock on the door of a church, never witness in their life, don't speak out at all. I'm not going to play God, try to preach anybody in or out. But the resurrection says, "Therefore be you steadfast." Why? Because of the resurrection. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, because of the fact when Jesus, he left out, he went into glory, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up in heaven?" After a few days, Jesus showed himself alive to many, over 5,000 one time, Paul said, and he as confirming the fact, because there were some people in his day didn't believe in the resurrection. And he went back to glory. And he's alive, seated on the right hand, and he's been praying for me. I used to think when mommy died, wouldn't have very many praying for me, but then I looked and said, "Jesus, Peter, Satan has desired you that he may sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith faileth not. And when you're converted, strengthen the brethren." Be you steadfast, unmovable, always doing what? Are you? Not grunting around. Bounding. Wouldn't it be something if we come back tonight, we're going to bound in the work of God. We come to worship. We come to give him honor. We come to give him praise. We come to worship in spirit and truth. And when you worship in spirit and truth, you have the eyes to see the glory. Like Isaiah saw in Isaiah 6. Him high and lifted up on his throne. We're all fashioned to this old world too much. The Emmaus decided experience. It showed up at home. Abide with us, the day is far spent, they said. They said to Jesus, hey, it is toward evening. It is toward evening. The sun's getting ready to go down. Not just because of us that's older. It's toward evening of this age. No doubt. No doubt. If it is, we better be saying, Lord, come in and abide. Man, we need a church on fire for God, not to one just muddling around. God, help us. I mean, time's running out. And our prayers need to be abide with us from morning to evening. For without you, I cannot live. My life is lived in you. Abide in me. Stay with me. Not enough just to look in the scripture and see the Lord. I want to experience him. Not enough to read about and see Sister Parker get happy in the Lord. We need, all of us need to get a little of what she's got. Because she's not a fake. She's not perfect, but boy, she had good taste when she's looking for a man. Let's don't comment on that anymore. Hey, I'll tell you why we don't have much witnessing. I'll tell you why you can go 2 or 3 weeks and never say a word to anybody. You need an experience, a mass experience. That's what you need. They had a message after the Lord came and walked with them. They had a message after the Lord stirred their heart. They had a message when they knew that Jesus was alive and he resurrected. They experienced some resurrected life and they had a message. They, even though the day was far spent, read it. They got up and walked 7 miles back into Jerusalem to tell them that they'd seen the Lord. Have you got anything like that? Then you would agree with me, we need to experience some experiences of as disciples. Experienced. I'll be honest with you, I didn't get the message this morning because what a difference a day makes. I might do it tonight if you'll come back. Man, you could preach on the resurrection from here on out. That's my hope. I'm not looking for the undertaker. He may, I probably ought to go down and make plans. I'll let the kids do it. They can dig a hole and bury me anywhere. I don't care. And I don't want to be, I want my funeral in church here. Amen. Because I tell you what, I want some preaching. They kind of hint around now, who do you want to preach your funeral? Who do you want to preach yours? She thinks she wants me to preach hers. I preach sisters and brothers, but I tell you what, I can preach hers too. And brother, I'd just tear loose and preach what God can do in an individual's life. She grew up in a home where mom and dad didn't go to church. And she had to sneak off to church and get baptized after she got saved without her dad knowing it because they were Assembly of God. And man, I was going to make a Baptist out of her. You know, I was one of them who said, I'm Baptist born and I'm Baptist bred. And when I'm dead, I'll be Baptist dead. I'm a Baptist and you're not going to make a Christian out of me. Hey, I tell you what, I'm not so stuck on that anymore. I tell you what, I'm stuck on having Jesus and the power of his resurrection. And I can know what Paul was saying Oh, that I might know him. That I might know him in the power of the resurrection. And have fellowship in his suffering. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone. And there's one for me. Hey, we're going to have to learn to die to ourselves and die to this old world. If you want to be alive in him, hey, here's the way it works, and I'm going to close. Whew. Here's the way it works. There's no use you say, Lord, fill me, when you're full of this rotten world. If you think you can do that, get you a glass of water and fill it up and then try to pour something else in it. You can't do it. I'll tell you what. You got to empty yourself of self. Brother, and empty yourself of sin and the world and say, oh, Lord, now you come in and fill me. I want your fullness. And you'll get it. We're too full of this world, the things of this world. And I see a lot of sad faces when I go to town. I don't see very many happy. I see a lot of problems. That's about all I see. And most of them is caused by wrong decisions. In wrong choices. Jesus didn't come to make us sad. I'll be honest with you, every time he came to them, he spoke peace to them. Oh, the peace of God that passes understanding. You won't have peace until you surrender to him as the Prince of Peace. You won't have peace when you're fighting with his word. I know that it says, but you're butting around with his word and you're not going to have any peace. You don't have to understand it to say, I don't understand it, but it's written, it's right. One day I'll understand it. Amen. Well, what a difference. What a difference a risen Lord makes in our life. And he sent them out to witness. For most of us, the top item on agenda is a new experience with the Lord. Or do we think he's dead? Is he dead in your life? Or is he alive? Is he working? Is he working? Is he working? We can look at our religious beliefs and practice. Hey, do you seek him? Do you even seek him? Man, most people don't even seek him at all. You know what that says? We don't want him. This Laodicean age don't want him. We're rich and increased with goods. We don't have need of anything. Then we wonder why we're losing a generation. But let me say this. If we don't get the truth in our heart, we need to take them to a few funerals and a few funeral homes and let say that one day, brother, you don't stay young. Then we quote some scripture, remember thy creator in the days of thy youth before the evil days comes nigh. When you have no pleasure. Brother, the devil don't have any happy old folks. No, he doesn't. Brother, I've met a lot. There's an elderly lady at a nursing home, Odell. Okay, you know. Boy, you talk about, I've witnessed old Mrs. Odell. She's hard and cold and don't have no hope. Because somebody at an altar was a hypocrite, she said, and didn't deal with her right according to her, and so she wouldn't know what was right anyway. But I'll tell you what, old Miss Odell, probably, oh me, I don't know where she stands. But I go by there now, hardly ever say anything to her because I witnessed and tried. But the devil don't have any happy old folks. And to tell you the truth about it, the pleasure of sin for young people is so short. Could I just, in closing, say, I am a satisfied customer, if you want to call it that. Man, I can recommend Jesus without any reserve. Praise God. Let's bow our heads.